Morena.
Morena, Susie, thank you. Coming up in today's business news, the headlights to be turned on to fuel pricing. Inland revenue threatens a big stick for laggard businesses. And we'll bring you the latest from the money markets. Well, we start this morning with a look at the Commerce Commission's draft report on the fuel sector. It's the first market study the Competition Watchdog's undertaken after being given powers to demand information from industry participants. A previous study a couple of years ago concluded there was broadly competition in the fuel sector, although it was hampered by not receiving the full cooperation of companies involved. One of the industry's independent players wants to see the big companies' dominance of the wholesale fuel market curtailed. The fuel industry's infrastructure and distribution network, broadly owned by the big three, Z Energy, Mobil and BP, and their fuel then onsold to other retailers. Gull Energy brings in its own fuel, and General Manager Dave Bodger believes the Commerce Commission will recommend opening up the wholesale market by introducing something called terminal gate pricing.
Well, it's the system that's used in Australia whereby if you own or operate a fuel terminal, you have obligations on you to sell and post a price for sale of the fuel ex your terminal. So it gives people who want to buy the fuel access to a more transparent price, and it actually makes the fuel be available for sale, so people just can't say, no, you can't buy it.
And is that what's happening currently?
No, well, there's no mechanism like that in New Zealand. So if people want to buy extra terminal, then it's a matter of commercial negotiations, and there's an ability for the terminal owners to say, no, we won't sell to you. And there's no requirement for to be able to see a competitive market in that terminal gate price as well.
Okay, so more transparency on that front. How then would that flow through to what consumers are paying at the other end?
Well, it opens up the option for new players to come into the market because they have access to fuel at close to an import parity price.
That's the General Manager of Gull, Dave Bodger, talking to Kim Savage. Now, that report will come out around 8:30, and as soon as we get details of it, we'll bring it to you on Morning Report. Well, greater attempts appear to be being made to save companies in financial trouble with the greater use of the mechanism called voluntary administration. Figures from the Restructuring, Insolvency and Turnaround Association shows fewer companies have been placed in receivership this year, but more have gone into administration. Now, administration is where a company in bad shape is ring-fenced. It puts it out of reach of creditors taking individual action, and external administrators are called in to decide its future. Nearly 30 companies have gone this way so far this year, compared with 7 this time last year. The chair of the association, John Fisk, says the figures suggest the economy is in reasonably good shape because administration is mostly used when the business environment is sound. However, he warns it may not stay that way.
There's clearly stress signs out there in the market at the moment. You know, there's a lot of pressure on margin for a number of businesses, and you know, if you look at sort of industries, you can see it in the construction industry where, you know, there has been increasing pressure on margins, pressure on cash flow, labour shortages, all those sort of things that create stress. You look at retail, you know, there's margin pressure there. Also in the dairy farming, you know, highly leveraged dairy farms are going to struggle, particularly if they also have environmental issues to deal with. Insolvency usually happens because of poor management, and the poor management has often, you know, resulted in too much debt for the business. But then there's other businesses operating in the same industry that are doing very well. So, you know, it's very difficult to make generalizations about particular parts of our economy doing badly or not, and there's always going to be operators that respond to the challenges well and those that don't.
That's John Fisk, the chair of the Restructuring, Insolvency and Turnaround Association. Well, an increasing number of high net worth private investors are competing with large corporate investors for pricey commercial property. Big industry players say competition's increasing for all classes of properties, making it difficult to get value for money. The chief executive of Property for Industry, Simon Woodhams, says low interest rates are making it easier for private investors to buy more expensive properties.
Probably in the last 5 to 7 years, the influx of high net worth individuals coming in and competing in higher and higher price brackets. If you go back 5 or 6 years ago, you know, anything under $10 million was sort of a private investor type market. Now we're seeing any assets up to $30 million being contested by private investors. So it is getting more and more difficult. And I guess where PFI has the advantages, you know, we do this day to day. This is our focus, our sole focus, and we like to think that we do it quite well.
Well, Simon Williams says the shortage of properties is also affecting tenants, with more willing to sign longer leases without the traditional incentives to stay on. And the chief executive of Precinct Properties, Scott Pritchard, says office space is also in strong demand, and not just for large spaces. He says the company's priority is to develop co-working office space for the Wellington region, with its Auckland co-working business expected to be profitable this year.
It's a market that's grown really significantly globally, and you know, through the acquisition that we've made of Generator, we're now, you know, the leading operator of co-working and flexible space in Auckland city centre. So we expect the market to continue to grow. Our occupancy in our sites has grown really significantly in the last 12 months, and we're looking forward to, at some stage, hopefully in the near future, to opening a new site in Wellington too.
Are you focused only on greenfield development, that's new developments, or are you looking at other types?
No, we're quite interested in all sorts of real estate investment. You know, a B-grade building that had the potential to be redeveloped and for us to create value for shareholders out of it, then we would definitely look at it.
Have you seen any of those kind?
Yeah, we have. I mean, it's harder to find value at the moment. In this environment, when interest rates are as low as they are, hard assets, physical assets are highly valued. But we have seen some opportunities. We've seen that within our own portfolio, and we've also seen it in the market, and we're exploring all of those.
That's Scott Pritchard, the chief executive of Precinct Properties, talking to Nona Peltier. Well, businesses which don't sign up for Inland Revenue's new payroll system are facing a crackdown and possible financial penalties. The new compulsory process called Payday Filing came into effect in April, and it requires companies to send their payroll information to IRD at the same time they pay the staff. Inland Revenue's customer segment leader Richard Owen says 92% of businesses have signed up, most of them using payroll software to file the information. But he says not everybody's playing ball.
There is a small group left there who either haven't filed or have fallen behind in their filing, and they're a group that we're actively following up with as well.
So what is it? Is it a lack of interest in doing this correctly, or is it a lack of awareness, do you think?
Yeah, in the main, what we found is it's actually a lack of awareness or a lack of knowledge, and sometimes it can be a confidence thing as well. So the big thing that we're really focused on is education and getting in there with employers and helping them understand how they can meet their obligations.
Have you taken any action so far?
No, we haven't, not specifically in relation to payday filing. One of the things that we will be starting shortly is we'll be looking closely at those employers who we've had conversations with and had dialogue with who are still consciously choosing not to file. And you know, if they're making that deliberate choice, then we have to take firmer action with those employers. And that's where things like penalties will start kicking in.
What sort of penalties could they be subject to?
Penalties normally kick in around about $250 per month. So if an employer misses several months of penalties, obviously those figures can rack up.
That's Richard Owen from Inland Revenue talking to Kim Savage. Let's catch up on the markets now. Wall Street is stronger. It's been pushed along with growing hopes that major economies will act to support slowing growth. Some optimism on the trade front as well. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up 289 points. That's 1.1%. The other indices up around the same level. Our own top 50 index was up 0.5%, 47 points yesterday. Starts the morning just over 10,700. And we should note that there'll be a new company on the board from 11:30, Port of Napier. The New Zealand dollar, 64.1 US cents, 94.7 Australian, 52.8 British pence, 0.578 euro, 68.3 Japanese yen, 4.52 yuan. Brent crude oil up a dollar. That's about 1.5%, $59.60 US a barrel. And gold down $13 at $1,500 US an ounce. And just a note that we were expecting the full year earnings reports from the honey producer Comvita. They have been delayed. The company says it expects to report the result by the end of the week, but says it needs more time to make a decision on whether to include the write-down of some current assets or wait until it completes a strategic review of the business.